Welcome to Taste and See, Discovering the Bible, 2 minutes at a time, with author and teacher, Jabe Nicholson.
David's preparation and Solomon's execution of the temple project succeeded in its breathtaking beauty. That's the impression I get when reading 1 Kings 7. After briefly describing the house of the forest of Lebanon, verses 2 to 5, then his hall of pillars, verse 6, the hall of judgment and his own house, verses 7 to 12, our attention is turned to Huram's masterpiece, the temple. First, to the pillars, already mentioned, he now adds the decorations. Of what do these pillars speak? Christ in the believer and the believer in Christ. As the Lord said to the faithful in Philadelphia, quote, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him my new name. Revelation 3:12. Signed, sealed, and delivered. W.W. Faraday suggests that, quote, nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work, 1 Kings 7:17, KJV, speak of the way he caught us and the way he keeps us, with the gospel net and the bonds of love. Then, the lilies, verse 19, and pomegranates, verse 20, speak of the fragrance and fruitfulness of holy living in Christ. Following this is the bronze sea, resting on 12 bronze oxen. It replaced the tabernacle's laver, but it too will be replaced someday. In its final form, the sea is crystal. Thank God we'll need no cleansing there. The chapter goes on to overwhelm us with more details, like movable lavers on beautiful carts for washing sacrificial animals, verses 27 to 39. Then we start with the bronze instruments, verses 40 to 45. Was it really overwhelming? Quote, there were so many, the weight was not determined, verse 47. Plus the vessels of gold, verses 48 to 51. Far beyond this, who can ever calculate the cost of the supreme sacrifice to which this all points? Quote, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15.
Find more of Jabe's Bible Talks at uplook.tv.